as she was singing about that love, that protection. She said, if you could see what I once was, if you could go with me. Yeah. If you could go with me. Well, I'm glad I ain't got to go back. Amen? I ain't got to go back to find out what God did for me. But I'll tell you what, sometimes we need to remember. You look in the churches there in the book of Revelation, it was the ones that lost their first love. That Laodicean church, they lost their first love, forgot what God had did for them. Forgot where God brought them from. But I'm glad that now, since you've been saved and born again, God goes before you. Me and Brother Billy was talking about this before church. I love talking to our church people and God's people about the Bible. I mean, it's a blessing to be able to gather around and talk about God, ain't it? Man, what a blessing. Me and Sam was in a store yesterday, or where was we? We were somewhere. Someone came in. We started talking about God, and they joined right in. Sam got in the truck. He's like, ain't that a blessing? I missed it. I was like, what? What are you talking about? He said, we can talk about God in here with these people. We just talked about the Lord to them. I was like, yeah, we did, didn't we? Isn't that a blessing? I love talking about God. And I love talking about God with God's people. I love talking about God with other people that aren't saved because they need to know how good God is. Amen? We don't need to keep it in the church house. Amen? We need to let the oil run out them doors and windows. Amen? Let it run down the streets and highways and byways and compel them. Tell them how good God is. But I was thinking about now, since God saved you, the Lord goes before you. Ain't that a blessing? God goes before you. The Bible says He's the ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's present. And the Bible says that He knows the way. He knows what's before you. He knows the way that you take. Job said, He knows the way that I take. When I'm tried, I will come forth as gold. But He knows you tomorrow because He's already been there. You ain't got to worry about tomorrow because the Lord's already been there. Amen? Ain't you glad about that? So why should we worry? The song says, why should we care? This very same Jesus. He's there. And I'm glad that God knows our tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. But in the Word of God, the Bible, so many times, and even in the New Testament, talks about the Lord going before them. Going before them. In Exodus chapter 13, in verse number 21, after the children of Israel were delivered out of the Egyptian bondage, and what was the last thing that delivered them? The last thing was that plague, that blood, wasn't it? That blood that was called the Passover lamb, that blood did it. Amen? And the Bible says, when I see that blood, I will pass over you. And we went over that a little bit last week, talked about that precious blood of Christ, how He is our Passover lamb. But the Bible says in verse 21 of chapter 13, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of a fire to give them light and to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. Amen? Ain't that good? Man, they had God leading them. I mean, could you imagine just getting out of their Egypt's bondage, and you're headed out towards the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, Moses, which way do we go? Well, I don't know. We're going this way. Where are we going? I don't know. We're headed this way. And I don't know how his conversation went, but he didn't have no book. He didn't have no book to tell him exactly which direction to go. You know what I mean? He didn't have a book. He didn't have the book that we got, this basic instruction before leaving this world that we got. He didn't have a book. But he had the voice of God, and I appreciate that. Amen. He had the direction of God. Look in chapter 23, right here. He had the cloud by day and a fire by night. Man, could you imagine being led like that? What would it be like if tomorrow you woke up and there was a cloud sitting outside the door of your house? Well, done. You get up about 5:30 or 6 or something, go over your grandma's and eat breakfast and everything. And when you walked out the door, there's a cloud sitting there. And And God said, follow that cloud. You just followed him to the truck. You got in the truck. The cloud was out in front of you and went down the road. And the cloud turned right. And then the cloud turned left and went down over the hill and turned left again. Went back by your mother-in-law's house and turned left. I mean, wouldn't that be neat? He was like, man, I'm in the perfect will of God. I ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm just following the cloud. Huh? And he said, well, it got dark at night. What do I do now? Well, God had that taken care of. It had a fire. That fire was burning. And old Brother Don was working late one night and it got dark, you know. And he got out of the shop and closed the shop door and turned around. And there's a fire sitting there. It's sitting there. It's dark. The fire said, well, he said, I'm just going to follow that fire. God's going to lead me. So he got in his truck and that fire went up a little bit. And he started pulling out of the driveway. And the fire turned right and went all the way down. All the way down Highway 5 and turned right again. And went all the way up Highway 5 a few miles around the S-curves, around Sandy Cut. And then turned right again into his driveway and went over the top of the hill. Fire went right down the house. And there was a fire in the oven. Miss Donna made homemade bread this time and had food. I mean, hey, wouldn't it be cool to be able to follow the fire? You know, every second of the day would be the perfect will of God. Where you at? I'm following the cloud. Where you at? I'm following the fire. Where was it taking you? It don't really matter. As long as I'm with it, I'm okay. As long as I'm with it, my needs are supplied. I know I'm protected. I know I'm in the will of God, in the way of God, doing the work of God. I know I'm right where God wants me. Oh, what a blessed place to be. Right where God wants you to be. Amen? I mean, could you imagine the security in following the cloud? The security in following the fire? Could you imagine the blessedness from day to day? Not having to worry about where you're going and how you're going to get there and how to get from point A to point B and the gas and the money and the food. You don't have to worry about nothing. God said, I'm going to take care of you. He said right here, you follow me, it'll be a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day and a fire by night. And he said, and he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. He didn't take it away. Wow! Wouldn't that be good, Papa? Go out to them turtle ponds and that cloud follow you right down there, show you right there where that turtle was. And he'd been trying to catch snapping turtles. He caught 30 pounds or more snapping turtles. We fed 27 people at the house last Sunday. Man, we had snapping turtle till our jaw was just... Oh, it was good. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. I mean, but wouldn't you... Hey, how many of y'all... Who would be so stupid not to want tomorrow morning if God gave you an option tonight? He said, you want the cloud? I'll give it to you. And it's still that still small voice. Or still the fire. How many of y'all would say, cloud, fire... I want it. I want to know. I mean, we would, wouldn't we? I mean, we would go. But you know what they didn't have that you have? They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that. They didn't possess the Holy Spirit inside of them. All they had was a physical object to lead them and guide them and direct them. They didn't have someone to speak back to them as every individual could speak back. You know what they had to do? Go to Moses, go to Aaron, go to Moses. But you know what we do? We go to God. We go to God any time and night. Hey, we go to God in the morning. We can go to God in the evening. We can go to God at night. And guess what we have as a child of God? We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we have the cloud and we have the fire and it's inside of us. Also, we got it better than they do. I mean, even though reality, we wouldn't have to worry about quenching the Spirit too much. We wouldn't have to worry about grieving the Spirit if we could just follow an outward cloud. But you know what you wouldn't have? You wouldn't have a close relationship with the Lord like you do now if all you did was follow the cloud. You know what that would be? It would end up being a mechanical everyday, just everyday mechanically. We're just going to go there and do that. There's nothing to it. Just follow that and... Every day, that's what happened to Israel. God even in chapter 23, I think it's verse 20. No, I don't know exactly. Let me see here. Yeah. Look what he did here. It says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his... Now, this is something like the Holy Spirit right here. It has some same attributes here, this angel does. I don't know if this is a theophany or not, but it might be. You could study that and find out for yourself. But it says, and obey his voice, provoke him not. There's something like grieving right there. It says, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. And if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, there's obedience of spirit, try not to hinder him or quench him, and says, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Now this angel, what this angel did is went before the children of Israel, kind of like that fire by night and the cloud by day. But what this angel was for them to be able to defeat their enemies. The cloud by day and the fire by night was not really there for them to defeat their enemies, even though the cloud kind of camouflaged Israel when Egypt was coming up behind them. If you remember reading that in your Bible, you remember that? The cloud stirred up dust, camouflaged Israel, and the Egyptian soldiers got lost. I mean, they got lost. They didn't know which south, north, east, and west until Israel was across the Red Sea. But this occurrence here is an angel that is there protecting Israel when they go into battle. Now this angel is there, and he's there, and you could look like to me, according to the Word of God, you could probably disobey this angel, and the Bible says don't disobey him or you'll provoke him. And it says to listen to his voice, and it says to beware of him. That beware, not to be scared of him, not to be fearful of him, but to be reverence and careful, honor him, respect him, reverence him. And this is like the spirit that we have to honor, respect, and reverence. And then obey his voice. Obey his voice. Why? Because he's leading you into battle, and there's some enemies out there that you're going to need to defeat and to fight, but you can't fight him unless he's in front of you. You can't defeat him unless he's already been there. If you're going on your own direction and you're not led by this angel, you're liable to be defeated. You're liable to be hurt. You're liable to be wounded. Somebody go to church. And you're liable to retreat. Somebody go to church. Liable to be defeated, to be hurt, to be wounded, and to retreat. And that's not the direction that God has chosen for the child of God. Am I right? All right. Hey, but when you're following the angel, he may lead you into an enemy camp. Oh, but the angel, as long as he's gone there and he's there before you, he will dismantle and he will disfigure and whatever you call conglomerate, and he will mix up and tangle up the enemies for the child of God. For the direction that God wants you to go into. Somebody go to church. I'm glad to know, hey, I've not always followed the Lord. I've not always followed the Spirit. Hey, but I've been back to where I've went astray. And then I've re-stepped my goings, or re-established my goings in the Word of God, in the will of God, in the work of God, in the direction of the Holy Spirit. And yes, I've fought some battles. And yes, I've went through some valleys. And yes, I've been into some entanglements. But I came out the other side victorious because the angel was there prepared for me before I ever went. Oh, thank God. You think about all the things you go through in your Christian life. You think about sickness, sorrow, hospital, aches and breaks and all kinds of stuff. You think about tragedies with your children, tragedies with your husband, with your wife. Yeah, I mean, hey, we face all kinds of things. But let me tell you, if the angel is gone before you, you have nothing to worry about. And it says that, he says, if you don't provoke him, he said, he will not pardon your transgressions. That's a scary thought right there. Amen. You can quench the Spirit, and you can grieve the Holy Spirit, and you can go to pray and ask him to help you and help you and help you. And your prayer, I believe, it doesn't really matter whether you think this or not, but I believe the Bible clearly teaches that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, he won't hear your prayer. And you'll quench the spirit and grieve the spirit, and then you'll go ask him and tell him you love him and all that, and he's hung up on that little thing that you quenched him about, or that sin in your life, or that transgression that you ain't ready to repent of. Am I right? That's why when you go before the Lord in prayer, you've got to cleanse your sins. You confess your sins before God. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How many times do I do that? I do it as many times as I need to do it. As many times in the day as I need to do it. As a matter of fact, when I go before the Lord in prayer, I can't just walk into the throne room without His grace, without His mercy, and without the blood of Jesus Christ. So I must have access by His grace through faith, the Bible says, and I've got to go through the blood, and there's something supernatural takes place when a child of God starts confessing his sins and telling God he's sorry and telling God he's a sinner and telling God he needs help and telling God he needs forgiving and telling God he needs the blood and telling God he needs cleansed and telling God he wants to be holy and he wants to be pure and he wants to be right and he wants the touch of God on his life and he desires the things of God more than anything else. And then you start thanking him and then you start praising him after you confess. I mean, talking about you go into a different prayer zone. I'm in a world of connection, and you seem like God's moved right in there with you, and the angels with you. Am I right? But you, I mean, I wonder. On a side note, can we get a hold of God? We used to kid around when we was younger and say, "Hey, our older brother was, hey Billy, he started this. He said, hey, throw a prayer up." We're like, what? Throw a prayer up. And we just, you remember saying that? We just kind of use it as fun. But you know what? In reality, sometimes that's exactly what we do. We just act like it's some unimportant thing. Act like we don't need the Spirit to make intercession for us. I mean, we act like, hey, we got this. We just go right on up here, find direction, tell God what we want. He's going to give it to us. And I'm coming back down. I mean, man, to my home. Whoop! I mean, I'm winning the battle. Not unless the angel goes before you. You've had victory. How many of y'all been saved? How many of y'all been free from bondage? Children of Israel were set free. The blood set them free. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. We've been washed. I mean, we've been set apart. We've been forgiven from our past sins. And we've already been forgiven from the present sins if we confess. Oh, but sometimes, I mean, we're hung up right here, ain't we? I mean, we're like, we're stuck in the mud, amen? He said, well, I need the angel before me. I need the Spirit to lead me. I need the Spirit to direct me. Hey, we say, hey, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What is righteousness? Righteousness is holy living. Not living in a way that quenches the Spirit. Not living in a way that grieves the Spirit or hinders the Spirit of God. I'm not saying living in perfection. But I'm telling you, hey, church, I wonder what would take place if every major decision you went through in your life, you spent 20 minutes in prayer over. If every time you had to make a decision, you'd hang up the phone and pray for 20 minutes. I wonder if your life would be different than the way it is now. I want to say you'd probably pray for 30 seconds and think you got an answer from God and take off in a direction and you'll leave God behind because the angel will not go before you. Amen? I ain't got no notes tonight. This is nothing. I ain't got none of this wrote down. So y'all just help me, okay? Y'all just pray. This is for somebody because God's just giving it to me. I mean, it's like flooding down right here, okay? All right? I know I want an angel, amen? I know I need the direction. I know I don't want to provoke the angel. Hey, it scares me. Sometimes in my life, I am afraid to leave that house over there. And I'm afraid to leave. Well, I went to Thursday yesterday, and I went to Thursday today, and I worked like a madman. I came back home, and I was like, woo, I'm glad to be here back in Calico Rock. Hey, Sam's the same way. Hey, stay down there the night, and we got done with what the roof we got back up. When we crossed, is it county line? He's like, woo! I love crossing that line. He said, I like to see that line. Why? It's because this is where God has called us, and this is my home, this is my church, this is my people, this is my Canaan land, and I don't want to go nowhere else. Sometimes I'm scared to leave the house. I mean, I don't like just jumping in the truck and I'm running the town. You better be careful, ladies. Well, I'm going to Walmart. I'm going this. Pretty soon you're so busy running everybody else, everything. And I mean, you're like, God's like the angels at the house. You know what I mean? He's like, you forgot to pray. You forgot to do this. You forgot to pray. Let's get in line. I got Brother John shouting on that. Praise the Lord. You only preach about, give me $20, I'll preach about credit cards. No, I'm joking. But am I right though? I mean, let me tell you, the children of Israel had the cloud by day, had the fire by night. Then God said, when your enemies come, I'm going to give you an angel. I mean, that helped me right there. That blessed my heart. Because I'm giving, you know what, they defeated all these, look at these enemies. The Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and even the Mennonites, probably, huh? You know I had to say it, didn't you? Hey, but how many of y'all got enemies? You got troubles and trials in our lives. I want the angel before us, amen? I need the angel. I need the Spirit of God. I need the direction of God. I'm telling you, it's important. It's important. Now, here's what happens. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. When you get older in the Lord, it's harder to listen. It's just harder to listen. I wrote down in my room a while ago, my study, that study I was going to tell you, I told you all about the other day, about biblical, how to follow the Spirit of God biblically. And I wrote down, I sat down and I looked at that, and God said, the first thing is to follow the Spirit. You got the God, your love for God. God's got to be first. Then you got to pray. To hear from the Spirit, you got to pray. To hear from the Lord, you got to pray. He said, you got to pray. What did I say? Pray. And then the next one was listen. He said, pray. And then I wrote down, listen. Man, that's just two things. How many of y'all got all that? How many of y'all got that down pat? Anybody? I mean, we're sitting on our hands right now. Huh? I ought to be able to raise my hand, you know, but pray, listen. Moses, when he went up to that Red Sea, he prayed, talked to God. And then what did God say? What did they? Somebody tell me what he said. What did God tell Moses to tell the people? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We ain't staying still enough to hear God anytime, do we? We got all of our plans. I mean, we got tomorrow laid out, and tomorrow may never come. But you know, I believe you got to have a vision. You got to have plans. You got to be wise. You know, you got to plan, but don't live by that. You know what I mean? But here's the thing: you got to pray, and you got to listen, and then you got to have a Bible verse. Bible verse that backs up your direction, not one taken out of context, not looking for one to prove your direction, but the Holy Spirit, because your spirit and the Word of God meets and it talks to each other, right? And the Bible calls it beareth witness. It doesn't contradict or go against. I mean, it goes the same direction. The river goes this way. You're not butting heads with the Word of God. You find prayer and then listening. You say, Lord, just show me them. Show me through the Bible. Give me a biblical example of why I should do this or what I should do. And then you find it in the Bible. You want your direction in life to be established in the work and the will of God, and know without a doubt that the angel's before you, this is how to do it. Pray. And what? And then, find a biblical example. Amen? Biblical example. Backs up the Bible. The Bible backs up my spirit and my prayer life. And when God turns the green light on for you, the angel's before you. He's done provided. He's done provided ahead of time, protected ahead of time, got the enemies out of the way, cleared the road ahead of time. I mean, the bridge is fixed, the bridge is not out, the road's paved, no big potholes, maybe a few, but you can make it through there. He's been there. Dark, you'll have the light, you have the fire. Daylight, you have the cloud. Angels said, go this way, do this. Amen? So many times we have a problem listening to the Holy Spirit. That's a couple of things God gave me earlier. But let me say this. I'm going to give you a list of some things. Here's several places the names of the places. And I'm going to give this to you maybe next time. But the names of the places where the children of Israel went on the way to Canaan land. Chapter 13. You find that the cloud by day, the fire by night. Chapter 23, Exodus, got an angel when they get up to the place to fight battles, got an angel going before them. And then they went to several different places because God was preparing them for Canaan land. Now Canaan land was an 11 to 15 day journey from the Red Sea. They could have just went, about 4 hours to get there in a car. 4 hours. It took them a long time. Okay? Let's see. I found some information that said it's about 240 miles. Driving about 4 to 5 hours. Should only took them 11 to 15 days to possess the land. It took them under 2.5 years to get to Canaan land the first time. Now, let me explain something to you. All the messages you hear about the children of Israel leaving Egypt and then going to Canaan land and how it took them 40 years and all that. And that's fine. That's fine if you're going to talk about, 40 years. But this is under 2.5 years and they were at Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was Canaan land. That was the place. That was the ending place. That was the place that they were to pretty much stop at. God was going to give them Canaan land. Okay? Canaan land wasn't just one mountain. We're talking about 600 and something thousand people. We're talking about the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. We're talking about, thousands and thousands of miles. The Bible says it's from the river Euphrates all the way to the river of the Philistines, the Bible calls it. It was thousands of miles. You can look at your map. You're on the corner of your map. You have to look at the right date map. You see the whole land of Canaan. Big spot of ground, like a country. Okay? And so it was like I said, 240 miles. Okay? Now, what did they have? What did they have to lead them by day? What did they have to lead them by night? What did they have to go before them to the enemies? An angel. Woo! Could you imagine? Jaden, could you imagine seeing the angels? Seeing the angels confound the armies? Before you, it's like watching that. That's kind of like Gideon whenever he went down there and snuck up to what was the people called? Mennonites, right? Mennonites? The Midianites. He snuck all the way down there and heard that dream, right? But he got excited, didn't he? And he got excited and he said, let's go back up. God's blessings was upon them. God's angel went before them. Well, here you have the children of Israel. They started on the 14th day, the first month, in the city of Ramses. And I'll give you all these scriptures and stuff. I'm just going to kind of go through this. I'll give you the scriptures next week. They went from Ramses, and they traveled to Succoth. All right? Ramses was actually a pharaoh. They named this city after Pharaoh, and his name was Ramses, okay? Ramses means to be born. This Succoth is the meaning of it is interwoven. Interwoven or entanglement, okay? And then they go from there to Etham. And then they go all the way up to the Red Sea, two different places to the Red Sea. And then after they cross the Red Sea, they go to Mara, M-A-R-A-H, which that's where the water was bitter. Y'all remember that? After the Red Sea, y'all remember that? All right, they went from there to Elim, E-L-I-M. That was an awesome place. Had 12 different springs of waters, palm trees, had oak trees. And I'll give you scripture references next week on all these. Then they went from there to the wilderness of Sin. Now, when they got to this wilderness of Sin, I don't know if that was S-I-N, the wilderness of Sin. And anyway, this was 30 days. It had been 30 days they got to this wilderness of Sin. Okay? And then they went to Rehoboam. And then they left there and went to Sinai. And then you can read, we're going to go through these through Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. We may go mainly just Exodus and Numbers. We're not going to go through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But then they went to, from Sinai, they went to Kibroth Hattaavah, however you want to say that. All right? Y'all can say it. I'll give you $1 for saying it right. All right? Then they went to Hazeroth. And Hazeroth means villages or yards. And then they went up to Kadesh Barnea. Okay? That's the place. Kadesh Barnea, I love the definition of this, means holy or purifying. All right? When they went up there, Kadesh Barnea, you'll find that Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 35. And this was where that they were sentenced for 40 years to return and sentenced to the wonder in the wilderness for 40 years. You'll find that in Numbers 14. You want to read that this week? Numbers 14, verse 34 and 35. All right, so they get that. They've fallen. But what I'm trying to say is they went to all these places. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 different places that we know. And they went through to other places. But destinations, this is where they went to, and the cloud led them to, and it stopped. And they encamped. And then when the cloud moved, they packed up and moved. Went to the next one. And if they traveled at night, the fire was there, and the fire moved. And when the fire stopped, wherever the fire stopped, they said, "Boys, fire stopped. Camp out. This is where we're staying for tonight." How long are we going to stay here? Don't really know. They was at 2 years. Sinai. They was there for about 2 years. And you know why, don't you? You read the book of Exodus, chapter 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. I mean, Moses is on Mount Sinai. He's got the commandments, 40 days and all that. We're not going to go for that. But they was there for almost 2 years. Didn't know that, did you? It's a long time. God wouldn't move until he's ready to move. What are they following? Cloud by day, fire by night, angel going before them. What was all this about? God was preparing them for Canaan land. Every one of these towns or cities, provinces you want to call, they all have the definition of being born, the border of a sea, the mouth of the water, the springs of water, this wilderness of sin, a place of rest. Then the Sinai was a cliff, jagged mountain. then they had this feeding place or a place of burning. That's where they saw the fire of God at. Then they had the villages. Then you have the holy, purifying. The last definition of Kadesh Barnea is holy, purifying. Why was that the last definition? It was because that was the finished place that God had led them to. The cloud led them, the fire led them, the angel went before him. All these places took them under 2.5 years, between 2 to 2.5 years, and they finally got there. Well, how did they get there? Cloud by day, fire by night. Took them just 11-day journey if they just hiked it. But God didn't want them to go straight through, because they had to be prepared. There was things in their life that they had to go through, circumstances like the pull of a bitter pull, that they had to learn in every place that they went. They had different circumstances take place. They murmured about Moses, and this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that happened. And then you have, in Sinai, you have the golden calf, and Aaron and Moses. Moses broke the commandments, and they grind up the golden calf, put it in water, and they all drunk it, and all that. All that took process of time for them to prepare to be able to rest in Canaan. Notice the word I said rest. R-E-S-T. There ain't rest until you get there. And there is rest. Let me tell you. There is rest as long as you're following the cloud, you're following the fire, and the angel's going before you. Am I right? Am I right? But the resting place is when the angel is removed, the cloud is removed, the fire is removed, and you're right where God called you. You're right where God wants you. You're at the destination in your life. You're at this Kadesh Barnea, this holy place, this place of purifying place. Am I right? Y'all understand? How many times we may be at the pool of Myra still? Moriah, whatever you want to call that. Somebody say that right for me. Mara. You may have to pull a Mara. Okay? Bitter. Anybody bitter? If you're there, you're a long ways away from the place of rest. You may be at the next town. You may be at the next town. I don't know where you're at. But if you're not at the resting place where you are trying your best to live a holy life and you purified yourself, sometimes it takes years to get there. But it shouldn't, and it doesn't have to. I know Christians that aren't no more holier than this bottle of water right here. You know what I'm saying? And we know, and you said, well, you're judging people. That book judges people. And we got to live by that book. And I'm not saying I'm judging people and don't follow me and all that stuff. I ain't going to get into all that. You want to say that? God bless you. Say it. Wait till you get out of church. I don't want to hear it. I'm talking about being holy. We know if we're holy or not. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just saying we know when we got sin in our life or when we don't have sin in our life. We know when we condone sin and we don't condone sin. We know when we harbor sin. And we know when we're quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit. And then we know at times in life where we know we're sinners saved by grace. But we really have a true heart's desire to live holy. And we want to live holy. And we're striving to maintain a relationship with that Holy Spirit, with the angel, with the cloud by day. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so we're trying our best to live from day to day to be what God wants us to be. Not forgetting who God wants us to be. Not forgetting our past, where God brought us from. Not forgetting that we are His chosen generation, His people. Not forgetting these things. Am I right? But remembering who we are. And you know, you can go to Canaan land as an individual, but you know what? Our church can go to Canaan land. For years, God has been trying to... We've had people come and go out of our church. You know why? Because we're on a direction to Canaan land. A place of holiness. You know what? You know why? I mean, oh, God help us. You know, the Bible says that the Lord rejoiced whenever Israel was pulled out of Egypt. Y'all hang with me just for a moment. It was God, the highlight of the Lord's day. God rejoiced whenever Israel was delivered. Now Israel rejoiced too because they was in physical bondage. But that's not the highlight of the day. That's not the highlight of the circumstance. The highlight of the circumstance, God sent however many people 400 years ago in Egypt and cultivated them and grew 600 and something thousand people with the world's goods. They were still His people. And then when the timing was right, He delivered them and they followed. And God was, woo, hallelujah. That was the highlight of God's day, if you want to let me say it like that. It was, God was so excited. He was proud to do that. I mean, could you do that? I mean, God was so excited that they followed Moses out. I mean, God was like, woo! I mean, if it was us, we'd forget about, you know, feeding them next week. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I was so concentrating on getting them out of Egypt. Now I got to feed them. Hey, God had all that taken care of. They get out there and murmur and complain. God said, tell Moses. God told Moses, tell them I'm going to feed them. I'm going to feed them bread and I'm going to feed them meat. And all that. But that was a highlight of God. You know why? Because God, they followed the Lord. And God said He promised Abraham they have the seed would be as the sands of the sea. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we know Joseph, right? Joseph, Israel, y'all with me? All these 600 something thousand men. And God said, all right, it's time. Let's go. Let's make our own nation. I'm going to take you to Canaan land. You know what God's been doing for over 2,000 years? Is saving you, people like you, and saving people like me out of the world and then grouping us together in local churches and little assemblies, grouping us together and saying, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow. You're not of the world, follow me. I've delivered you out of bondage, follow me. I set you free, follow me. I loosed you. Hey, you're not underneath the tyrant. Pharaoh's dead. The enemies are gone. I'll send the angel before you. You got the cloud, you got the fire. Follow me, follow me. I'm going to take you to Canaan land. That's what He's been doing. So many times we fight against it, though, don't we? I mean, like backing up, going forward, backing up. Going. That's what they did. You say, well, if I followed Moses, man, we'd have made an 11-day journey. We'd have been right there. Well, see, that's not the point of the matter. Point of the matter is God took them to all these places and prepared them for His destination. And then when they got there, they failed. And we'll talk about that later. They didn't pass the test. They were 40 days up there in Canaan land, right? 12 men, one for every tribe, right? 40 days up there. And God said, for every day that you were up there, you're going to be a year in the wilderness. Every day on the mountain, every day in the search of the land, you're going to be a year in the wilderness. Every day, a year. Every day you mislead me, you'll be a year. Every day you don't follow the Spirit, you'll be a year. Getting back. Every day, boy, don't that sound kind of how the Lord works sometimes in our lives? I mean, one mistake, one disobedient, one grievance, one provoking, then a year. Am I right, church? Somebody stay with me. Then a year, and then sometimes 40 years, and sometimes He takes people's lives. And then He brings the next generation around, learning off of our experiences, and says, there's Canaan land. Remember what your dad did. Enjoy. And the four-letter word that we need to remember is called what? Y'all already forgot it. It's called rest. 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 Now, are you resting in the Lord? Are you resting? Because that's where God wants us to be able to be. You say, well, I'm working. Yeah, but you can rest where you're at work. As long as you're where God wants you. Well, I'm not. Hey, Canaanland was not sitting on your front porch with steaks in your freezer and iced tea. I mean, and somebody, you know, waving a flower, you know, a big old, you know, flower, you know, calming you down and cooling you and all these people around you, and you're sitting there with your king and your hat on, your throne, you know, oh, I'm in Canaan. That's not it. That's what you got pictured in your mind. That's nothing. We're here to serve. We're here to work. But how can we serve and work and witness if we're not living in the resting in God? Not living in the will and resting in the will. If we're always fighting against God, we can't do the work that He's called us to do. We're not just servants. We're sons with a servant's heart. But so many times we think, we act like we're slaves. We're slaves. You know, and that's why it grieves us. But like a message I preached about the servants the other day is, we're His servants. He's the King. We ought to serve Him, but so many times it's backwards. We act like we're the King and He's serving us. But we are sons, but we need to have a servant's heart. Amen. So, I'm just saying a few things to this. Now, do me a favor tonight. Don't go home and go back to bitterness. Don't go home. I want you to search your heart. And this is not going to take, we can have an altar call right now. You could come down and you could pray a little while. And maybe that you need to do that. You need to do that. That's perfectly fine. But what I'm asking you tonight is go home and say, Lord, where am I at? Where am I at? Lord, and search your heart. Search yourself. And say, Lord, am I resting? Am I at rest? Am I at rest? Am I at rest in God? Have I followed the Spirit here? Has He led me? Am I at rest? Search your heart. Find out where you're at. And let God direct you. Listen to Him. And whatever you do, don't forget about what you heard tonight. Don't leave here tonight, walk through them doors, and let your mind say, well, I forgot about that. I'm going to something else. No, this is the most important thing that ever happened all day is what happened in here tonight. This is not something you do on a side job or a side thing and putting God on the, well, I got to go Wednesday night and then I'm going to go home and go to sleep and I'm going back at my stuff. That's the problem. That's why you're not in Canaan land yet. Because this is the stuff. This is the main thing. This is the most important thing in our life is this. Not that. So, I'd like to ask you to do that for me. Consider yourself. Let's concentrate. Let's think about this. Let's spend some time in prayer. If I need to follow the Spirit, if I'm going to follow the Spirit, I've got to pray. I've got to listen. I've got to be in my Word, in the Word of God. Because, as you know, the Bible speaks to you. And if you hide in His Word in your heart, the Bible says, hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. If it's in there, Brother Don quotes the Bible all the time. He's got a memory. He remembers. And it just comes out. Because it's in there. He's read it. That's how it ought to be to us. I mean, you say, well, I don't remember like that. Yeah, I wish I had. I wish I could remember stuff too. But let God, let that prayer, listening, and that Bible make connections. See, that's three of them. That represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right there. Amen. Maybe that'll be your angel, your power tomorrow. Your angel. How would you like to meet an angel? You walk out of your house tomorrow morning, there's an angel saying, follow me. I'm going with you. Grabs you by the hand, physically. It's like, whoa, all right. I know if I'm with Him, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to get weak. I mean, we can follow God. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Don't we? Don't we? All right, let's stand. God bless y'all. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the mercy of grace. Lord, I could talk about this stuff, Lord, for another hour or two. Lord, I appreciate you, Lord, being real tonight and helping us, Lord, tonight. We ask you, God, that you just lead, God, and direct us. I pray, Lord, that your people were encouraged tonight, Lord, because they have your sweet Holy Spirit. They have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, Lord. And Lord, we are your chosen people. And we've been grafted in, Lord, and we've been saved by your grace, Lord, redeemed and set free. Oh, what a blessing that is. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to honor you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us, Lord. Help us to pray and listen to you, Lord, and read your word of God. And I pray, Lord, you'd lead God and direct us. Lord Jesus, I pray tomorrow for your honor and your glory. Thank you for the blessings of this night. In Jesus' name.